service is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Well, good evening, America. Alex McFarland here. Welcome to the American Family Radio Network, the Hamilton Corner. It's my privilege tonight to be sitting in for attorney, author, pastor, Abe Hamilton III, and we've got a great show. And we're going to talk about apologetics in just a moment. But in the second half of the show, we're going to talk with Barry McGuire about evangelism. If you're a car person, you've seen McGuire's Car Wax. And Barry McGuire, that's his family that makes the world's most sought-after car wax. He's a friend. We see him just every year at NRB. And later on in the show, if you've ever wanted to know how to share the gospel, how to effectively witness the gospel to somebody else, you'll hear from one of the best, Barry McGuire. But right now, we're going to bring on a friend and a colleague named Frank Figueroa. Frank is with Reasons for Hope. He's one of the best apologetic speakers that I've heard. And by God's grace, I've worked with everybody, Lee Strobel, Josh McDowell, you name it. But apologetics is in the news. In fact, a Canadian apologist, Wesley Huff, this week is on the Joe Rogan podcast, and one of the world's biggest podcasts. And it's fascinating because a lot of Christian scholars, like our friend J. Warner Wallace, who was a Los Angeles homicide detective, became a Christian in his 50s after decades of atheism. A lot of people are realizing that whether it's the existence of God, the trustworthiness of the Bible, or the resurrection of Jesus, the evidence is compelling. One of the reasons I'm so excited for you to meet Frank Figueroa is because he's part of our summer camp experience. And listen, for the young people in your lives, equipretreat.org. Equipretreat.org. That is the website for our 7 summer youth camps. We've been doing this for many years, partnering with Reasons for Hope, Carl Kirby. It's fantastic. We'll talk about that. But right now, what an honor. I've just come to appreciate this guy so much. He's brilliant. He's passionate about the gospel, and he's a great defender of the Christian faith. Frank Figueroa, welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Aloha, and thank you so much for having me.
Aloha. Now, that's a very interesting word choice. Tell us about it, Frank.
Well, I'm from Hawaii, born and raised, born here in 69, and served in many capacities, youth pastor, senior pastor, worship pastor, so forth, so on, and been doing that for all of since I got saved at age 16, and for the past 2.5 years, I've had the privilege of serving with Reasons for Hope, where I travel all over the country speaking on basic Christian apologetics. Yeah. So Aloha has a little bit of a sweet sound right now because we're actually in Hawaii and just got through running a conference here at Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor, in which we involved several churches, but it was called the Impact Conference. Yeah. And we were here, and Carl Kirby was here along with me, Dr. Juan Valdez, a bunch of people. So it was a great, great time.
Yeah, well, I'm back east where we've had snow and ice and 18-degree temperatures. So, you know, the 10th commandment is thou shalt not covet. But in a way, I'm kind of wishing I was there with you, Frank. But anyway, I'm glad you're in that beautiful part of God's creation, Hawaii.
Yes, my wife and I went for a walk this morning on the beach in 75-degree weather and even got to hang out with a Hawaiian monk seal for a little bit. So no place quite like it.
Well, God bless you. Let me ask you this. Apologetics, for those who don't know, what is apologetics?
Well, we get the word apologetics from the Greek word apologia, found in 1 Peter 3:15, which means to give a reason why we believe what we believe. So Christian apologetics, therefore, is to explain why we believe what the Word of God says. And we have the Word of God as authoritative and true, but since a lot of people struggle to accept it as authoritative and true, we use Christian apologetics to be able to share with them the rationalized way to see the Word of God so that they can understand it and then ultimately come to know Christ as we know him, not only by faith, but also by the things that we see in the world around us.
So apologetics is like the evidence for Christianity, right?
Yes. Jesus even said, he said at times, consider the lilies of the field, or consider the birds. So he had no problem with us looking at the world around us and being able to see what we see, compare that with what Scripture says, and understand that what God has said is true in reality as much as it is in writ in the Holy Scriptures.
How relevant, in your opinion, Frank, how relevant is apologetics for the church of the 21st century?
I think it's very relevant. I think we have lost our way. And what I mean by that is, someone who has been a pastor for 25 years, we have been taught what to believe in the church. You should believe in this and believe in that. But we haven't really been emphasized why we're supposed to believe it. And so the what's, the doctrines, are very important.
Sure.
But in order to solidify it in the mind, having a good why to explain our what not only helps it to make sense to us and brings a congruence between what we see and what we think, but it also helps us to share our faith with people who don't necessarily believe. And I think it's really important and sorely lacking in a lot of the church today.
Let's talk about young people a little bit, because it's almost like I get this every other day. It used to be maybe half a dozen times a year, but now it's almost like three or four times a week. People email us or write, or they call into our radio shows and they'll say, please help us, my son or my daughter. They were raised in church, went to youth group, maybe as a teenager made a profession of faith. My son came home from college, tells me he's an atheist. Oh my goodness, what do we do? Frank, why is the falling away rate among people, let's say 35 and younger, why has that become such an epidemic in these days, do you think?
I go back to the idea that we have taught them what they're supposed to believe, but not why they're supposed to believe it. I believe that a good portion of the young people today feel that they have been left out of understanding the why, because parents just tell them, well, you need to believe this, or the church has told them, you need to believe that. But we have turned off their critical thinking skills so that they can start understanding things and believing them for themselves. And so critical thinking is a key to understanding the gospel, and they need to come to their own conclusions. Within our Dr. Juan Valdez's book, he clearly states that they are saved to something, but not necessarily to the Christian faith. What I mean by that is, they have a faith that they've come up with in their own minds, or it's their parents' faith, or it's the church's faith, but it's not the true Christian faith. And so apologetics helps us bring back that which, once again, God has declared in his word, to help them see the why and to help them come to a faith that is rooted in truth and accordance to what he says and to what we see in the natural world around us.
And you know, Frank, listen, I love the fact that, you know, people of our parents' generation, America and much of the world was more Christian, you know, in the early to mid 20th century. But there were a lot of cultural juggernauts that came along in the 60s and 70s and 80s, and the world became much more secular. But I've talked to a lot of older people, and they'll say, Alex, what do you mean, defend the Christian faith? I don't have to defend the Bible. The Bible stands on its own. Here's my point. I think there were a lot of years that apologetics and defending the Christian faith and critical thinking skills were not really assumed to be needed because the culture that many older people grew up in was fairly pro-Christian. And the idea that Christianity needed to be defended was just not even on the table. And so, but, you know, even, you know, I grew up and I was in school in the 70s. I was in college in the 80s. I remember professors at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro that just, they were very brazenly mocking Christianity, mocking Billy Graham and preachers in the church. And so I think there were a lot of years where, you know, it was what's called fideism, folks. Fideism, from the Latin word fide, is just, it's faith without any reasons. Why do you have faith? Because you just do. But we're in a world, Frank, as you and I both know, that faith, that is salvation, faith in Jesus. However, people nowadays, they want to know why. How do I know the Bible is true? How can we be certain Jesus rose from the dead? And so we don't have home court advantage anymore, really, in terms of Christianity, do we?
We've been challenged a lot. And I honestly think it's good to get challenged. When I was young, if a bully were to push back against me in a physical way, it would lead me to either come to a place where I would fight or I would run away. I mean, that was my options. Well, if we believe that the Christian faith is solid, we should learn how to, I don't want to say violently, but push back against that which is coming, and we should be able to defend our faith. I think a huge portion of it is because of those cultural things that have come in. You had the sexual revolution, you had the gender revolution starting in late 50s, early 60s. You had these things that challenged our assumptions in what we assumed everyone believed and was in agreement with, only to find out that over time it's been eroded and not everyone is in agreement with it anymore. So we should be able to explain why sexual relations should be between only a husband and a wife, why there are only two genders, why were we created and we didn't happen by accident, why is it that we can trust that what we read in Genesis 1 is the actual account of what happened in the creation of the heavens and the earth. So there are a lot of things that professors today will challenge. And quite frankly, their students who may not be professors, but they're in the workplaces and other places that we have our fellowship with, that we should be able to share why we believe what we believe. And so it's really important to not only know the what, but to know the why.
Well, the camps, folks, if you're just tuning in, Alex McFarland here. This is the American Family Radio Network. One of our colleagues and friends, Frank Figueroa, amazing speaker on many topics, one of which is creation and defending what God's Word says about the origin of all things. But at the summer camps, equipretreat.org. Equipretreat.org. We do 7 camps all around America. We're in Montana. We're in upstate New Jersey in the Hudson River Valley. We're in South Carolina, Temple, Georgia. And we talk about biblical worldview. Frank, why do you think it's important that middle school, high schoolers, teenagers, they come to the Equip Retreats and we drill down deeply? We've only got 30 seconds. Why are these biblical apologetics camps important?
I believe it's important because the young people want to know why they should believe what the Bible says. And when you take away the phones and you get them isolated to a camp setting in which we can have true fellowship centering on the Word of God, we can actually spend the time and expound upon the truths that are in Scripture. And there's no place quite like it, like the Equip Camps.
I tell people, invest a week that will count for a lifetime. Frank Figueroa, we'll have to visit again soon. Thanks for being with us. Folks, when we come back, we'll talk with Barry McGuire about evangelism. Stay tuned. Alex McFarland here. We're back with more after this.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
It is, in fact, relatively easy to bless others and encourage people with our words if we wisely and very deliberately seek to do so. Well, what are some words that we can speak as a lifestyle that can bless others? What are some words that can promote healing, grace, and encouragement in the lives of others? Well, here are a few. Thank you. I appreciate you. Please. How can I help you? I'm sorry. I apologize. Please forgive me. How can I pray for you? What can I do to bless you today? You are awesome. You are a blessing. I believe in you. I believe you can do it. You will do great. And obviously, these are just a few words, but words that can bless and encourage others in their daily lives.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Your day is about to get a lot more joyful, and I'll explain that in just a moment. But Alex McFarland here, thanks for listening. You know, in that first segment, we were talking with Frank Figueroa about our youth camps. Again, the website of those seven summer youth camps is equipretreat.org. Let me make you aware of several other things in addition to the 1,200 teenagers we'll have in seven summer camps. We talk about biblical worldview. We talk about evangelism. Last year in all of our camps, we had around 168 kids pray to accept Christ as their Savior. But we also talk about biblical worldview and living for Christ and biblical citizenship. But also, I'll be at the Billy Graham Training Center in Western North Carolina. It's called The Cove. The website is thecove.org, T-H-E-C-O-V-E, thecove.org. And I would love to see you there. Every summer, and I've been there, I give God the glory for 20 summers, and they asked me to teach a book of the Bible. Now, this summer, July 18 through 20, I'll be at The Cove, the Billy Graham Center, teaching the book of Job, Why Do Bad Things Happen in the World? And then I'll be there in August with J. Warner Wallace, and we'll be talking about apologetics. And so go to the website, thecove.org, and just put my name in the space bar, Alex McFarland, and you'll see their great seminars, Erwin Lutzer, Kay Arthur, all sorts of wonderful people, Will Graham. But I would love for you to come to the ones where I'll be teaching, and I'd love to meet you, and together we'll drill down deeply into the Word of God. Well, here's the thing. Listen to this, folks. One of the things we do every year, we go to NRB, and that's going to be next month in Texas, National Religious Broadcasters. And I and Bert Harper and Tim Wildman and all the great AFR staff, we go. And for a number of years, the absolute highlight of the week is when we get to visit with Barry McGuire. Now, Barry McGuire is the leader of McGuire's Car Wax, a global brand. Chances are you have McGuire's Car Wax in your garage. I know we do. I've bought McGuire's since I was a teenager, but I've come to love Barry McGuire because he is just so full of joy, and this man is a walking, talking evangelism wave. He is the Great Commission embodied, and I just love this guy. You're going to be blessed as we converse and hear his story. But welcome to the American Family Radio Network, an incredible man of God, Barry McGuire. Welcome, brother.
Hey, thank you. Always good to be with you. We have a lot of fun at NRV. It's coming up, isn't it? It's getting soon.
Wow. It is. And you know what? I got to tell you, and I'm going to go all starstruck on you. I remember when I was 16 years old, and I went to the auto parts store. I can see it now in my little town of Pleasant Garden, North Carolina. And I had a 66 Ford that I had bought for $250. It was not anything special, but it was my first car. But I bought a big burgundy bottle of McGuire's Car Wax. And brother, that would have been about 1980. To know Mr. McGuire is really a thrill.
Isn't that something? It's fun to meet somebody whose name is on the brand, you know, and I am the guy. It's a third generation business, started by my grandfather in 1901. praying man, miracles. I mean, I have no excuse. I have incredible heritage from both sides of my family, from my mother's side, pioneer preachers in Texas, and on my grandfather's side, I have right on my desk here a book on systematic theology that my grandfather McGuire, who started McGuire's Car Wax in 1901, it's his book, and almost in every page there's notes.
Wow!
So this is my roots. And God called me, inspired me to go retail. We were buffing cars in dirty, filthy body shops and garages. And that was our business back when I graduated college after 60 years of business. That's how we sold our products. I was really good at buffing with a machine, you know. God called me to go into retail. And I didn't know anything about retail. What on earth? And he kept impressing upon me. And I said, well, God, I've always loved Proverbs 3:5, and it's going to pay off for me now. I'm going to trust you with my whole heart because I don't have any understanding. I don't have a clue about retail. So I just trusted him, and the stories, the miracle stories I've gone through then to now, but now we're the number one selling car wax. It's the more I've honored him,
yeah,
the more he's honored me, the more he's honored our business.
Well,
and use my business as my pulpit, you know that.
Well, I do, and I have such respect for you, Barry, and I came to appreciate you because as I would meet you every year at NRB and we would interview you, I came to realize cars are cool. Car wax, that's wonderful. But the thing that matters most to you, and it is so authentic, is Jesus Christ and the whole wide world coming to know Jesus. And I said, wow. This guy has a singular commitment, and that is to Christ's great commission. So I want to hear how you came to know the Lord, and how did God make you into just the great commission Christian that you are?
Well, and as I speak, whatever I say in the next few moments, it's for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
The great commission is not just for a guy who peddles car wax, you know. When we get to heaven, understand that when you get to heaven, the only thing that's going to matter when you get to heaven, if you're a Christian, is how many people are in heaven because of your influence. It's not going to matter how many bottles of car wax I sold. There won't even be a discussion, you know. So first off, are you in the Lamb's Book of Life? Of course. But for those of us who are, from now until the end comes, and we don't know when that's going to be, but I suspect it's getting closer and closer. I expect to make the rapture. I don't think I'm going to die. I mean, I think God, but you know what? That didn't wear me down or just say, put me back in the back seat. It makes me excited because we're running out of time, and most people are lost. We're running out of time to tell them Jesus loves them, and they don't know that. You know, 90% of our population, they're not evil. They say evil things. It's crazy. How can they? They're blinded. They have an excuse for their behavior. They're lost. They don't know that there's a God that loves them. By the grace of God, I do. And from now until whenever we're going to see Jesus face to face, our number one goal, your number one goal, is to lead everybody every day closer to Jesus. Nothing mm-hmm. else matters. He said, love me and love your neighbors yourself. That's all I require of you.
Yeah.
Seeking and saving the lost. And we say, move everybody every day closer to Jesus. Everybody. And you know, everything you say and do, from the morning you get up, you can't get away from this. I'm going to let it run you right now. Everything you say and do is moving everyone watching you closer or further away from God, even when you don't realize it. In those moments when you have you get bad news, or you lost the presentation, or for me, when I learned my 49-year-old daughter died.
Mm.
And for me, when I was in the hospital dying, and they gave up on me. I still had my joy,
yeah.
You know. And when I was told by my joint venture partner they're going to throw me out of my business at the worst moment of my life, I was 65 years old. I still had joy, and I said, God, I ask you for nothing because you know I live for your purpose, and I know you honor your word. In Romans 8:28, you say, all things work together for good if you live for my purpose. Your purpose is to seek and save the lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means moving everybody every day closer to Jesus. Would we live for that more than anything else? So the story of my life is that, by just a little preface before I say anything, this message is not a a message for one out of a thousand. It's for all of us. And this is how we step with God.
Amen. And you know what? A joy. And I'm not just flattering you. I've known you. I've been around you. You have the joy that could only come from Jesus Christ. And that joy is available to everybody. People get frustrated. People get depressed. People go down some dead-end streets and they feel like they're empty. That joy, tell us, where can people find joy?
That's a great question, because you know what got started on sharing our faith was a search for joy. When we had young kids, and I was well-trained, so I mean, it was giving sacrifice, you get time, money, whatever. We're doing all the right things. But Karen and I kept telling, we don't have any joy. It's like, I think we were trying to earn our way into heaven. So I don't know, but we were overachievers, man. We were one of every pastor once, but we didn't have any joy. In fact, we were nipping at each other a little bit. We said, why don't we should have joy in all we're doing for the Lord? That's the wrong attitude. I mean, we had it all messed up, but he has patience with us. So we started praying for joy. God, give us joy. And we went about 2 or 3 weeks later to a luncheon for the 50th anniversary of our church.
Okay.
And they just had the 100th anniversary for the church, and I was a speaker. But this is 50 years earlier. This is 1973. And I sat right next to the speaker. His name was Herb Ellingwood. He was, tell you how old it was, he was the legal affairs secretary for Governor Reagan. And I wanted to hear all about Reagan. I sat there for an hour with him before he spoke, and it was the most life-changing hour of my life when he went from one story to another telling about how he was sharing his faith in the craziest places all the time. Even he said, and last night, it just struck me, and I walked away from that luncheon in tears. I said, I want what he has, God. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. And I never equated sharing your faith with joy. I quit sharing my faith with a scratchy voice and sweaty palms and trying to think of my next point that I got to make. It was so hard. I hated doing it. And he's having fun doing just loving on people. It's a whole different revelation to us. So we started doing that. And it wasn't about a month later. We were laughing one day and we said, we have joy. And we've had it ever since. We've never lost our joy. We have bad things happen to us, but we never have a bad day. Amen. We never have a bad day. God's always there. So it's amazing. Quick story. I probably had to put it in perspective. About 3 years later, we're sharing our faith so often, I thought God wanted me to go into full-time ministry. So I prayed really the most fervent prayer of my life, closed the door to my office and prayed, God, if you want me to go into full-time ministry, I will go. I will leave the business. You're working miracles in my life. I'm seeing it. I feel like this retail thing is really going to work for us, but I'll leave it a nanosecond if you will. I just want to follow you. But you're almost going to have to speak to me in an audible voice, is what I said. Almost have to speak to me in an audible voice so I know for sure you want me to leave. And not 20 minutes later, a guy named Dave McNutt walked into my office. I didn't know him. I recognized him. I knew he's a missionary kid my age, but grew up in Africa. He's a missionary kid. He's spoken from the platform a couple of times, so that's how I knew who he was. But I never exchanged a glance with him. Now he's in my office. He said, hey, Barry, I just thought I'd stop by. How's it going? And so I thought, well, he's probably not into shiny cars and cool cars and all that stuff. So I just started telling people I'd share my faith with. And he said immediately, God's given you a wonderful ministry here, hadn't he? I said, what? This is for you folks listening to us right now. He says, God's given you a wonderful ministry here, hasn't he? I said, why would you say that? He said, well, the people you're reaching, a pastor couldn't reach. But as a businessman, you can. It's obvious he gave this to me in 1976. It's obvious that your business is your pulpit.
Wow.
If you're a housewife, you're a teacher, you're a student, you're an attorney, I don't care what it is, you're in the middle of your mission field. And wow. When you take the focus to using the problems, when people are in travail, I say, don't waste the problem. Use the problem. Show them what it's like to have joy in the midst of the problem. That's powerful.
Amen.
And
amen.
I'm dying in the hospital. And I told God, okay, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die trying to lead as many people to you as I can. And that got to be a joke. for me, a fun game for me. Everybody, who's the next person I could talk to you about Jesus? I was dying. I had all the pains and the hoses up, and I'm thinking about how can I lead the next person closer to Jesus? Folks, it changes everything, the joy. And when you get into that game, and it is a game, I'm sorry, I'm very reverent by it, the privilege to be able to represent God, but it's like sport. I mean, there's nothing more exhilarating than knowing you're right where God wants you to be at that moment, and not reading a script, but listening to Luke 12:12 says, I'll give you the word to say, the Holy Spirit will give you the word to say when you need them. Yes. And allow that to happen every day. And it just rolls off you. You don't have to prepare. He gives you the words. You know God's using you. You're intimately involved with God, leading somebody to him, and they're broken and they're crying. And I just pedal car wax and I get to do that. You get to do that every day. Yeah, you'll have joy. Does that answer your question?
Very much. Folks, Barry McGuire has an upcoming devotional book. Now listen to this great title, Live Ignited, Your Daily Nudge to Share Your Faith. Live Ignited. Now we're going to talk about this more. We've got a brief break. But Barry, where can they get the book? And is the book out yet?
The book is out. It's an Amazon bestseller, actually. Who go figure, you know?
But you congratulations.
You go anywhere, Barnes & Noble, what have you. It's also in Ottawa. I read the whole book. It's so much my voice. Actually, there's all these chapters. Every chapter has a QR code where I actually speak to you about what that chapter says. What's most importantly is the scriptures. The scriptures in every chapter. If you pay no attention, my words are just how I responded to the scripture. The power of the book is the scriptures. And we were just talking about it today. There are, I think it's 400 reviews, all 5-star reviews on Amazon. And we checked to see what's the percentage. And it's like 1% report a favorable review. So you get to understand we have 500 times, I don't know what, but we certainly have tens of thousands of people. And you know what they're saying? Go to Amazon and just read the reviews. Every single one of them say, I didn't share my faith at all. I was afraid to share my faith. I didn't think all the excuses. I'm not talented. And now I'm sharing my faith every day and having the time of my life doing it. Wow, that's so much better. Whatever else you're doing, he'll make the path straight. And he'll Amen. Make it all work for good if your eyes are living for his purpose and not yours.
Well, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Barry McGuire. We're going to talk about overcoming fear. We're going to talk about not letting Satan neutralize your faith. He's the author of the devotional Live Ignited. And I happen to know he is a man who is ignited and on fire for Jesus Christ. You can be too. Alex McFarland saying, stay tuned. We're back after this.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Oh, the Lord is so good. Alex McFarland here. We're talking with Barry McGuire of McGuire's Car Wax, but also he is the author of an upcoming book called it's out already, actually, Live Ignited, and it speaks about being on fire for Jesus Christ. The subtitle, Your Daily Nudge to Share Your Faith. So many things that we're going to converse about, but Barry, before we go too much farther, any websites, what is your website or anywhere online you'd like to direct us to?
Oh, enchilada, and it's a huge ministry with every kind of help you could possibly imagine that will take you from never sharing your faith. I don't share my faith. I don't have the talent to share. We actually have a site that's MFE, MFEs, a whole page of MFEs, most frequent excuses why we don't share our faith, and we destroy them with scripture. I mean, God's called us all to share your faith. I don't care who you are. So the website is Ignite America. Got that? Mm-hmm. IgniteAmerica.com. And
sure.
And we were talking about the book a moment ago. If I could do a shameless plug,
please.
This is what it looks like. It's Ignite Your Life. And if you get into what I'm talking about, it's so easy. There's no training required. You just love on people. This tells you how you just love on people without even trying to get them saved. You just love on people and you find out it's a Holy Spirit experience. And within 5 minutes, they'll tell you their needs.
Yeah.
And then
amen.
The Holy Spirit gives you the words to say. It happens every time. And you get to have that several times a day. And all of you probably know at some point in time you shared with somebody sometime and you walked away with a kind of a wow. And when I do it, I just know I'm just right where God wanted me to be. And I walk away. And you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength, not our joy. It's His joy. Yeah. Do you know you can give God joy? You can disappoint Him, you can grieve Him, or you can give Him joy. And you can give Him joy every day. And I look up and I see Jesus smiling at me. And I know what He's saying to me. You pulled it off, Barry. You're right there. You listen to my voice. You let me speak through you. And I end up most of the time doing a jig when I'm walking away like, oh, God, you're so awesome.
And this
ignites your life.
Exactly. That ignited life. And folks, let me encourage you to check this out. And you know what? I know you and I both, we want God to get the glory. But I just want to say thank you for who you are, because I've been around you enough. You are for real. You are the real deal. You're absolutely authentic for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to commend you, brother, for I meet a lot of people. You truly are the ignited Christian, and that's just a wonderful thing.
If I give you one last scripture, and there's all these scriptures that we should share, but why? Why does God want you to share your faith? Do you know it's secondarily to win the lost? It's primarily to win you.
Okay.
This is how we consummate. Seriously, folks, listen. This is how we consummate our relationship with God. He didn't say this will make you understand more. He says, this is how you know I'm God. Isaiah 43:10, thus saith the Lord, I appointed you as my witness so that you will believe. If I was God, I'd say so they'll believe. No, because when He's focused on you, He's only focused on you. He's not trying to use you. He wants your heart, and He knows when you're sharing your faith, guess what? You're in the Word, you're praying. Everything happens in your life. It all comes together when you share your faith. That's why it's the Great Commission. Mm. Isaiah, write that down. This is God's calling on your life and mine. Every one of us, when we do that, we have joy.
Yeah,
and
amen.
It ignites your life.
How does Satan use fear in the life of a Christian?
How does he speak to me?
No. How does Satan sometimes use fear?
I have no fear. I haven't had any fear for decades.
Right.
I just have not. You know why? Because I live according to Romans 8:28, the scripture that we just throw away. We know it. We don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But He means it. When He promised you, I'll make everything in your life work together for good. He means it. But it's like, you know, He wants everybody to be saved, but you got to confess your sins. In this case, He says, I'll do it, but you do two things. You love me with your whole heart, and you love your neighbor as yourself. Only in Romans 8:28, He says, when you live for my purpose,
mm-hmm.
my purpose is to seek and save the lost. We know that. When we live our lives to seek and save the lost, in our ministry, we make it simple. Move everybody every day closer to Jesus. We live in the promise of Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good. We have a fun way of saying it. Follow the nudge, live in the fog. This is this devotion we just brought out, Living Night. We say, this is your daily nudge. We talk about that because you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You've been nudged every once in a while. You should call Bob. He just found out he has cancer. I don't know what I'm going to say. I wouldn't have the right scripture. You know, that person's hurting. Oh, I don't have time. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm with a secular friend, and they're pouring out their hearts. I should say, can I pray for you? But he'd think I'm a fool. We have all these excuses.
Yeah.
When you follow the nudge, folks, get this. When you follow the nudge, you live in the fog. You live in the favor of God.
Okay.
Of God, you live in the promise of Romans 8:28. That's what life's all about.
Yeah,
that's what life's all about. And Paul said, "What's mine? Where do I get my reward?" He was telling the Thessalonians, "Says, what will be my reward? What's my crown when I get to heaven?" It's you. It's those you I've led to Him, and forever I'm going to know that I led you to the Lord, and we're going to be celebrating together. And I had a part of you being here. Can you imagine people coming up to you throughout eternity because of your influence? I accepted the Lord. That's what it's about. We're here for a moment. It's over. This is eternity, folks. The only thing that matters is if you're a Christian, the only thing that's going to matter between now and when you get to heaven is how many people have you led to heaven because of your influence. And it's fun. That's the best part. It ignites your life. And there's a ton of us with this kind of joy around. We're fighting more and more all the time. We all have this one thing in common. We have no worries, no fear.
Amen.
Just freedom. It's freedom.
Well, and you know, so many people need hope. You know, hey, I love apologetics. I love biblical worldview. But listen, I just think people need hope. And we've got the greatest hope, the most real reality. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen. Jesus is as close by as a prayer. Don't you think with a world that is searching and so hungry for a word of encouragement and some tangible hope, I mean, we've got the greatest opportunity maybe in our entire lifetimes.
Well, We this world is so attractive, and Satan makes it that way, and we get hung up in all these things, and where are you, God? He's right there.
Mm-hmm.
The word even says he sends us problems. I thank God, Karen, I thank God for every bad thing that's happened to us, because it's in those times that you have your growth spurts, not when you're on the top of the mountaintop. It's under pressure when you trust him and he brings you through it. Oh, my goodness. But listen to this for a moment. I mean, the higher calling is, God could have done anything. He's always was, always will be. He can do anything. He made us out of nothing. He made man out of nothing for eternity. He didn't make you for earth. He made you for eternity. He gives you enough time on earth to figure out who he is, to receive him and tell other people around him. But he made you out of nothing for heaven. And then he sends his son down and allows the man he created to torture him. And yes, kill him, to sacrifice him, as he can be a pardon then for our sins, so he can justify us getting into heaven. He gave his son to be sacrificed, and all that pain, that was real pain, he did it for us. That's how much he loves us, so that we are justified to go to heaven, and not only go to heaven, but be joint heirs with him, joint heirs with eternal God over all of the heavens and the angels and the vast sources of creation. It's what do you have hope for? Are you kidding me? Even so, come Lord Jesus. But even so, between now and then, get as many people on the bus you possibly can. And that's where joy, the real joy comes on this earth. Every time I pray that when God comes, when he returns, I'll be in the middle of leading one more
Amen.
Person. Jesus Christ.
Wouldn't that be great? You know, earlier in the program, you mentioned that you thought that you might be alive when the rapture comes. Me too. I mean, we don't know the day or the hour, but we're closer than we've ever been. And talk to us, if you would, Barry, about living in light of eternity. I mean, that trumpet is going to sound one day, and the eastern sky will open, and Jesus is coming back. What does it mean to live in light of eternity?
I live every day like it's my last day, and it could be. I live on a day-to-day basis with God. I want to, and this is a conscious thing for me. I'm 82 years old. I could die tomorrow. There's a point in time. I mean, God knows our days, right? He didn't extend our days. So I live so that God is so happy with me today that he says, that's pretty good. I think I'll give him another day.
Amen.
And I'm just giving fruit. I give him souls. And I'm working for him. And only 1% of us are sharing our faith, folks. Only 1% of us. 80% of the lost are looking for God right now. This moment in time, there's never been another time like it, when the whole world is wondering what's going on. Even the heathen are saying, what happened? And Trump got elected. What's God up to? They're asking questions. We have, they're lost, but they're asking questions. The fields are white for harvest,
yes,
but the laborers are few. We need your help. Please, I'm begging you. You know, this book will help you. I know I don't make any money off the book, but do that or get to our Bible study. Or, and once you talk to people about the Lord, we have a card called seekinggod.org.
Okay.
And after you've been through it, you've just talked to them for 5 minutes. You'll never see them again. They're in the line of Starbucks. Wherever you are, you just talk to people. You can get them interested in God so fast. And then you say, I suspect that you'd like to know more about God. They'll always say yes. And then you show them this card. You say, I got to give you this card. This is a huge website, seekinggod.org. And you know what that'll do? That'll take somebody with no knowledge of God and lead them in a sinner's prayer to God. You don't leave them in the lurch. You actually have, we get these out free of charge. Go to igniteamerica.com and order these free of charge. And there's no passwords. You don't have to give us money. We're not asking for anything. Our ministry is to serve your ministry, to ignite your life. That's the beat of our heart. And
amen.
We're having a lot of fun doing it.
And you know what I'm thinking about now, folks, listen. They say there are 345,000 churches in America. I don't know, but it's a lot. And many, many churches are not seeing souls saved, but you could. You're declining. Oh. It can be turned around. So, Barry, I'm thinking about what you've got, those cards, Seeking God. All it takes is one person to be the spark plug. And folks, no matter where you are, the city, the country, all 50 states, look, God can use you to revive your church, and your church can become a soul-saving station once again. So, Barry, speak to us. All it takes is for God to get a hold of one person, and it can ignite a dormant church, can't it?
Very, very insightful. Pew did a research study, 50,000, this is not a small study, 50,000 sermons from 6,000 churches. And they came up with a whole bunch of findings. I went to souls and salvation, and they reported only 10% of those 50,000 sermons even mentioned salvation.
Really?
So no wonder the church aren't sending us. It says, how are they going to go and tell them unless they're sent? They're not sending us. That's why we have this ministry of Ignite. We're wanting to send you. Listen to this right quick, folks. You can't save the world. I hear that. Oh, I can't save the world. You're right. You can't. But you can save your world. You have influence. I don't care who you are. You have influence. That's your world. You can save your world. You can love on your world. You can be there for them, always being ready, and make that your highest priority. You know what? If we all started saving our worlds, if we start changing our worlds, we'll change the world.
Yeah.
There's 30 million of us that are going through the motions, that are beaten up. 80% of us are having as much fear as the unchurched. Why? Or there's no relationship. You may be on your way to heaven, but getting as fearful and as complaining as the world outside. It's not enough just getting to heaven. You might just be able to make it in. I talk about having joy in heaven, rewards in heaven. And you do that now, and you get past all that. You can't get your prayers answered if you're double-minded. If you're double-minded, I'm fearing whatever, you have to be wholehearted faith. James 1 says, if you're double-minded, don't expect me to answer your prayers.
Yeah.
Oh, but when you're wholehearted, then I will answer your prayers. I will direct your steps. I'll bless your life. I'll make your path straight. That's where you want to be. And that'll ignite your life. I promise.
Folks, you've just been listening to Barry McGuire, a brother, a colleague, and a friend. He's the author of the devotional book, Live Ignited, Your Daily Nudge to Share Your Faith. And I'm going to tell you, I'm revived just being with you on the show today, Barry. So give us your website, and folks, get out there like Barry and tell the world about Jesus. What's your website, sir?
Website, real quick, Ignite America. Our goal is to ignite America with revival, one person at a time. That's what it's going to take. The church isn't doing it. But if everyone has took our influence, the people we influence, so they see God in us, we can ignite
Amen.
The world.
God
we can
bless
do
you.
That. You can do that.
Folks,
get on board.
Thanks for listening, and may God ignite America.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.